Jnanatimirandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Pandeham Shigaro Shiyuta Parakamalam Shigaram Vaishnavam Scha Shirupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vidamscha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishubhanu Siddhi Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakapa Trivyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patidanam Vavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pranitananda Shedvaitikadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 16, Lord Parasaram destroys the ruling class, text number 23 is on the board. 20 to 23. But we'll just read the translations for 20. Thereafter, Parasaram joined his father's head to the dead body and placed the whole body and head upon Kusa grass. By offering sacrifices, he began to worship Lord Vasudeva, who is the all-pervading supersoul of all the demigods and every living entity. Text 21 to 22. After completing this sacrifice, Lord Parasaram gave the eastern direction to the Hota as a gift, to the south to the Brahma, the west to the Advaryu, the north to the Ugata, and the four corners north, east, north, southeast, northwest, and southwest to the other priests. He gave the middle to Kasyapa and the place known as Aryavarta to the Upadrashta. Whatever remained, he distributed among the Sadasyas, the associate priests. Purport. The tract of land in India between the Himalayan mountains and the Vindhya hills is called Aryavarta. Text 23. Tatascha Vabrita Sannam Viduta Shesha Kilbisha Sarasvatyam Mahanadyam Reje Vyabra Imam Suman Tata. Thereafter, Cha also Avabrityasnana. By bathing. After finishing the sacrifice. Viduta. Cleansed. Ashesha, unlimited. Kyobisha, whose reactions of sinful activities. Sarasvatyam, on the bank of the great river Saraswati. Mahanadyam, one of the biggest rivers in India. Reje, Lord Parshurama appeared. Yabhrab, cloudless. Eva Asuman, like the sun. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As stated, thereafter, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parshuram took the bath known as Avabritya Snana. Standing on the bank of the great river Saraswati, cleansed of all sins, Lord Parasurama appeared like the sun in a clear, cloudless sky. Please repeat. Thereafter, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parasurama took the bath known as the Avritya Snana. Standing on the bank of the great river Saraswati, cleared of all sins, Lord Parasurama appeared like the sun in a clear, cloudless sky. Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 3.9, Jagnyata kamano nyatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Karma bandhana refers to the repeated acceptance of one's material body after another. The whole problem of life is this repetition of birth and death. Therefore, one is advised to work to perform yajna meant for satisfying Lord Vishnu. Although Lord Parasuram was an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he had to account for sinful activities. Anyone in this material world, however careful he may be, must commit some sinful activities, even though he does not want to. For example, one may trample many small ants and other insects while walking on the street, and kill many living beings unknowingly. Therefore, the Vedic principle of Pancha Yajna, five kinds of recommended sacrifice, is compulsory. In this age of Kali, however, there is a great concession given to people in general. Jagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yanti Hi Sumeda Saha. We may worship Lord Chaitanya, the hidden incarnation of Krishna. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam, although he is Krishna himself. He always chants Hare Krishna and preaches Krishna consciousness. One is recommended to worship this incarnation by chanting the Sankirtan Yajna. Performance of Sankirtan Yajna is a special concession to human society to save people from being affected by known or unknown sinful activities. We are surrounded by unlimited sins, and therefore it is compulsory that one take to Krishna consciousness and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Tatascavabritasnana vibhutashesha kilbisha sarasvatyamaha nadyam Raine Vyabhra Ivam Suman. Thereafter, having completed the ritualistic sacrificial ceremonies, Lord Parasaram took the bath known as Avavritya Snana. Standing on the bank of the great river Saraswati, cleared of all sins, Lord Parasaram appeared like the sun in a clear, cloudless sky. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatim Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskyatya De Siddharane. It is recommended in this age that we chant Hare Krishna, but of course there is a quality to the chanting. Chanting is available in every age, but it is necessary in this age because the other types of activities are not very easy to perform without the chanting of Hare Krishna in this age. It is said, Krite Tadayato Vishnum Tretiyam Yachito Mukai Dwarpayam Paricharyam Kalo Tadari Kirtana, that in the age of Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga, people could meditate directly in trance upon the personality of Godhead, which means that they're engaging their full intelligence and their senses in Krishna consciousness. And therefore, when they became completely absorbed in such consciousness, they're able to go back and join Krishna in his Leela in some universe. But when people became a little greedy at the end of Satya Yuga, they had a little extra prasadam, they became greedy for the maha, then the result was that they had to perform sacrifice. Because by performing sacrifice, they became a little detached, their mind became unagitated by ignorance and passion, and they were able to meditate again in trance upon the personality of Godhead. When Dwarpa Yuga started, and people became even more greedy, they started to actually think that things belonged to them and were meant for their enjoyment. So, deity worship was introduced so that their possessions can be utilized in Krishna's service in a regulated way, and therefore they became so attached to the deity would reciprocate. They became encouraged to perform sacrifice for the deity, and by performing sacrifice to the deity, they again were able to meditate in trance upon the personality of Godhead. In Kali Yuga, people have no good qualities. As a matter of fact, tatas chanudinam dharma satvam socham dayashama Kalena Balaya Rajan Nakshantra Nakshantyayor Balam Smriti. That day after day, the only progress that's being made in Kali Yuga is downward. Day after day, they're not only kicking the bull, but they're slaughtering the bull. And they're inventing new ways of killing animals. So Dharma is going down, and along with Dharma going down is truthfulness, cleanliness, mercy, tolerance, and Kalena Balaya Rajan Nakshantyaya Balam Smriti. So also by the strong force of Kali Yuga, people's memory and their bodily strength will diminish. And therefore people cannot understand that, even that they're not their body. If one cannot understand that they're not their body, then there's no question of spiritual life. Anyone who's convinced that they are their body, that the only aim of life will be to gratify the senses. They believe that to gratify their senses, chintyam apareyam cha, Pralayantam Pashritya Kama Paboga Paramam Etavam Iti Nischita. They believe to gratify their senses until the end of life is the prime necessity of human civilization, and therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. People think that the problem that they have is that they don't have enough desires. Their desires aren't strong enough. Their material desires have to be increased so they can actually gratify them and feel happiness by doing so. They're performing sacrifice, but their sacrifice is simply for their tongue, belly, and genitals. They'll work hard to get money, 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 sweeter than honey. Because by money, one can obtain the things necessary, especially to satisfy the desires of the mind and the tongue, the belly, and the genitals. The only thing they're meditating upon is how to gratify their senses. But if they can understand that they're not their body, that they're actually a spiritual soul, then they can have a change of direction. Initiation, for example, is supposed to mean a change of direction. At the time of initiation, we're supposed to give up our false ego and accept the fact that we're not this body. Not only accept the fact that we're not this body, but accept the fact that we're the eternal servants of the servants of the servants of Krishna. Dasa, dasa, anodasa. If at the time of initiation we don't accept sincerely that we're the servants of the servants of Krishna and sincerely try to serve the servants of the servants of Krishna, then initiation has no meaning. It is simply a formality. Now, sacrifice, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Shreyam Swadhamod, Shreyam Dravyamad, Shreyam Dravyamad Adhyamam, what's the second word? Shreyam Dravyamad Agyana, Jnana Jagna Purantapa, Sarvam Karmi Kalam Partha, Jnani Parisamapyate. The sacrifice of knowledge is greater than the sacrifice of work. After all, O son of Kunti, the sacrifice of knowledge, work culminates in transcendental knowledge. In other words, the reason why we're having a class is to obtain transcendental knowledge. And as I've been saying lately, unless we walk away from the class with a little bit more transcendental knowledge, then we're simply going to do the same thing over and over again. Punak punas charivita charvanana. If we can't remember what they said in the class, or what someone said in the class, then either we were asleep in the class, or we were asleep in the class with our eyes open. Sometimes devotees give class, and at the end of the class, we can't remember which book they read from. Or what they said. And as long as they're prasadam at the end of class, we don't really care. But actually, we're trying to take something away from the class. Something that we can remember. And what are we trying to do? What's the difference between taking away from class absolutely nothing or a little bit, or taking something from the class? What are we trying to achieve from it? We're trying to achieve some vision. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya. The guru is the one who opens our eyes with knowledge, with a salve of transcendental knowledge. So that's why we come to class. We're trying to come to get something so we get some vision. We can see things more clearly. And after seeing things more clearly, then we can engage in sacrifice. Without seeing things more clearly, in Krishna consciousness, without seeing Krishna, who is the object of sacrifice, then there's no spiritual sacrifice. We may sacrifice our material possessions in order to get some other material situation, but that will not give us spiritual existence. So we're trying to see through the eyes of the devotees, who are seeing through the eyes of the disciples' succession, who are seeing through the eyes of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, Krishna, so that we get some vision, so we can do something as a sacrifice in Krishna's service. So in the beginning we're just sadhana bhakti. We're trying to chant Hare Krishna. We're trying to perform the activities of sadhana bhakti so that we can come to the platform of understanding. Tadvidi prani patena pari prashnena sevaya upadeshanti te jnana jnanas tatvadarshanaha. We're approaching at the end of sacrifice, so many kinds of sacrifice. As I said, we can sacrifice chant Hare Krishna. That should bring us to the point of worshipping Krishna in the form of the holy name. Not just chanting Hare Krishna, but actually understanding that Krishna and his name are not different, and worshipping the holy name, trying to chant with some attention and feeling. Then we'll be able to worship the holy name. We'll be able to, and what is the symptom that we're actually worshiping the holy name? We're willing to make sacrifice for the holy name. And when we make sacrifice for the holy name, then the result will be that we'll be able to love the holy name. We'll become attached to the holy name. Now, the same philosophy is repeated in many different ways. Ye shamantikatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvanva maha niramuktva bhajante mam dhrida vrataha. Those who have practiced pious activities in this life and in previous lives, whose sinful actions are completely annihilated, are free from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. So this is liberation. Dhrita vrata, get out of the material concept of life. So in the beginning, we're trying to become a little religious. Trying to get out of Kali Yuga. Trying to get out of the irreligious. So that holy name helps us to become clean, to become truthful, to become austere. And give up illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, and gambling. So austerity, truthfulness, cleanliness, and mercy. To try to become religious. And then the result will be that we can learn how to control our senses. So in the beginning it says that we practice the principles of religion. And then we try to give up sinful activities, mentally and physically, and then we try to act piously. So accepting everything favorable and giving up things that are unfavorable. Try to act piously. The supreme pious activity is to engage in sadhana bhakti, Krishna consciousness. And by doing so, we can gradually conquer sinful reactions. That is tolerance. We can chant Hare Krishna and not be bothered by all the material desires and conceptions that we presently have. Then we can actually practically accept real devotional service. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samaksarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. We can actually begin real service when we don't look at everyone, what they're going to give me, or what they can take away from me. We look at everyone as an object of service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yarideka Tarikaha Krishna Upadesh. That whoever we see, we should see with the eyes of the devotees and try to help whoever we see make progress in pure devotional service. Then, by doing so, we can not only accept real devotional service, but we can rise to the platform of actually understanding Krishna in truth. Only with our spiritual senses, when we can actually feel Krishna's presence, and ultimately in ecstasy, can we actually understand what spiritual life is all about. So it is said, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarvalokamaheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantim Richati. At the beginning, we're simply trying to utilize our energies in Krishna's service, trying to accept that Krishna exists. As I said before, Srila Prabhupada said, one of the major problems in the Hare Krishna movement is that the devotees don't believe in Krishna. So that's a problem. And what does that mean, they don't believe in Krishna? It's hard to accept that actually Krishna is what he says he is. That he's the actual proprietor. That everything belongs to him. Even my body, my mind, my words, my very self belong to Krishna. So to accept that is the beginning of trying to become Krishna conscious, trying to get out of the mode of ignorance. So the chanting Hare Krishna helps us raise ourselves above the mode of ignorance, above the conception that this world belongs to us, and then we can actually give up the idea that it's meant for our enjoyment. It's meant for Krishna's enjoyment. And when we accept that it's meant for Krishna's enjoyment, then we approach his spiritual master, spiritual authorities, to find out what Gurus, Sadhana, and Shastra tell us, how to utilize Krishna's energies for his satisfaction. And when we become Krishna's friend and try to please him, do things in a friendly way, realize that Krishna is our real friend, then we can accept the fact that Krishna is the friend of everyone, the real friend of everyone, and we can try to become, as Krishna's friend, everyone else's friend, by giving them Krishna. Then we can understand what Krishna consciousness movement is all about. It's meant to develop the loving exchanges between the devotees. That's our only real field of activities. It's not meant simply building buildings or getting land or getting fame or adoration, profit, distinction. It's meant to cultivate devotional relationships with every devotee through understanding Krishna in truth and Krishna's desires in truth. Becoming in contact with Krishna, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, Krishna will give us the intelligence how to expertly discriminate devotees on what level they're on and how to love them appropriately. In the six loving exchanges. The life of a devotee, a real devotee, is simply absorbed in the six loving exchanges. Dadati pratigrinati guyamakiti prichiti bhunte bojayate chaiva shadvidam pratilakshanam. Offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, and inquiring confidentially, these are the loving exchanges, offering prasad and accepting prasad, these are the loving exchanges shared by one devotee or another. And when they're done expertly, that is, when we only see devotees in relationship to their spiritual advancement, not who they're initiated by, or what country they come from, or how old they are. When we give up the material conceptions of life and only see devotees according to their level of spiritual advancement, Krishneti yasigaritam manasadriyeta dikshasi chat pranitibis chabajantam isham shushu shaya chabajanam ananya ana indati sunya ridayam isita sangalabhya. The devotees who are more enthusiastic than we are, who are more steady in their service, not undisturbed by material circumstances, and always going with determination to serve Krishna and his devotees, then we learn from them how we can become more steady, how we can become more determined, how we can become less attached or less attracted to the material nature, and more enthusiastic to serve Krishna and his devotees. We learn from them so that in the association of in association with other devotees, we can learn how to serve them appropriately. We can honor those who are always chanting Hare Krishna, and we can cooperate to spread the Hare Krishna movement inside the movement and outside the movement. Help everyone give everyone further understanding of who Krishna is and how to serve him, and inspire them for ever greater levels of commitment in devotional service. And for those who are just beginning on the threshold of bhakti, or not very serious, then we respect them within our minds, but we don't intimately associate with them. Then our devotional creeper can actually develop. Then we can actually come to the platform of wanting to sacrifice for Krishna. Unless we create an atmosphere of a spiritual family, then we won't want to sacrifice for this movement. There won't actually be a movement. There'll be thousands of movements. Wherever our minds are moving, that's where the movement will go. But if we actually become absorbed in transcendental knowledge and see through the eyes of Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra that every devotee is the object of my service, of my sacrifice, then there will actually be a real spiritual family. And only when we have a spiritual family will people be able to fully sacrifice their body, minds, and words, and faith, and intelligence in Krishna's service without hesitation. Tadbudhyas, tadatmanas, tadnishtas, tadparayanaha, gajanya puna avritim, jnana nirduta kamashaha. One's intelligence, one's faith, one's mind, one's refuge are all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed of all misgivings through complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path of self-realization. Then we can actually become liberated from our material conceptions of life. Vidyamanaya sambhane brahmani gavihasini shuni chaiva swapakecha pandita samadarshanaha. Then we can actually become actual Brahmins, actually learned persons. When we can see Krishna in the heart along with the soul and every living entity. But we can only do that by practicing in the association of devotees. By practicing in association, especially of the great devotees, taking shelter of their association and instructions, and then serving the other devotees, serving the innocent, and avoiding the atheists by becoming fixed in our loving service to Krishna. Then the international society will actually become a society, one society, rather than thousands of societies. The Gaudiya Math started because they all had one objective, to serve the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, who was teaching them how to properly serve all the other devotees. But after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's disappearance, there was division. Who is going to become the next acharya? Who is going to become the next leader? And they split over this material disagreement. And therefore they became asara. They became impotent spiritually. Externally, things were going on, but because they didn't agree to follow the acharya and to serve all the different devotees under his direction, but split into different factions, and therefore they became, the loving exchanges diminished and ultimately disappeared to a greater or lesser extent, and therefore spiritual life within their movement became non-existent or practically non-existent. Similarly, in our society, if we remain in the material conceptions of life, thinking ourselves according to our bodily designations, and not understanding the eternal soul in everyone's heart, especially amongst the devotees, and engaging in the six loving exchanges, then we'll also become useless. Or we'll become useful in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the more we exchange loving exchanges with every devotee we meet, and ultimately with every living entity that we meet, if we engage in those six loving exchanges appropriately, then our bhakti will grow, and along with our bhakti, our movement will grow. When Prabhupada was in Seattle, 1968, before he left for India, he was giving one man asked him a question during class. He stood up and challenged Prabhupada. Kind of a challenge. And he asked Prabhupada, "So Swamiji, what is your movement doing for humanity?" And so Prabhupada replied, "So are you chanting Hare Krishna?" And the man said, "Yes." "Is it helping you?" He said, "Yes." And Prabhupada said, "Well, that's what I'm doing for humanity." Or, as Prabhupada also wrote, that in order to help people, there are so many different welfare works. There is the Salvation Army. There are so many different humanitarian works going on. So those are also very nice in terms of pious activity. But even better than that is to give people transcendental knowledge. But better than that, the best of everything, is to save oneself. So we have to, whatever goes on in our society or beyond our society, it matters, but the most important thing is that we understand what our mission is, that we acquire spiritual vision so we can fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and make our life into a sacrifice based upon real knowledge. In the beginning, we may even try to hear. Now, why do people give up hearing? Because they don't get anything from it. And why don't they get anything from it? Because they don't remember anything they're hearing. After hearing, they remain with the same material conception that they started with. And after hearing, even they get a vision, but what is that vision? So many people have visions. One devotee came to Prabhupada and said, in San Francisco, and said, "Swamiji, this chanting is great. As soon as I start chanting, I see all these different colors." So Prabhupada said, "Keep on chanting and it'll go away." So everyone, they have vision. Everyone's having, but what the vision we're supposed to have? The vision how to live in the society of devotees and to serve them with these loving exchanges appropriately. That's actual spiritual vision. How to love Krishna, how to serve the devotees, how to help the innocent, and how to avoid those things that, and persons that draw our minds away from Krishna. That's vision. That's knowledge. And if we hear and hear and we don't get that vision and we don't practice it, then there's no spiritual life. There's just a theory, some kind of theory. It's not even a spiritual theory. And if we practice it and continuously practice it, then we should come to the platform of yajna, wanting to sacrifice our energies in the service of Krishna and his devotees. It should increase. The surrender should increase so that we come to the platform of falling in love with Krishna. And therefore, not only acquiring transcendental understanding of Krishna, but remaining entranced, thinking about Krishna, as Parasaram in this verse was doing, cleanse of all sins. So that's our mission, to meditate, as they did in Satyuga, on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, internally and externally, to see everything as a possible sacrifice for the Sankirtan movement, to see everyone as a wonderful opportunity to engage them in helping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement and spreading transcendental knowledge that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everyone should love him and sacrifice for him and derive the highest benedictions that human life can give. But if we don't give that spiritual vision, that is guru, actually to give that vision, whether you're a Diksha Guru or Shiksha Guru, whatever kind of guru one is, that is what the duty of every guru is meant for. That means every one of us are meant to give that vision and practice that, the loving exchanges with the devotees, and avoid conflict, avoid animosity, jealousy, envy, and give that up and chant Hare Krishna together in the mood of loving service to the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that way our lives and other lives will also become successful. But if we don't give that vision, and we fight over mundane visions, then our society will not be very strong, and generally people will become attracted by other visions that will promise happiness in some other way. If we can't give happiness by the loving exchanges with the devotees, then we'll look for happiness in the material energy through sense gratification, and we'll become like another Gaudiya Mad. Will become useless as sorrow. Therefore, in summary, we're hearing so we can remember, so we can get vision, so we can apply that in the loving exchanges with the devotees, so we become ever more enthusiastic for sacrifice for the Sankirtan movement. We learn new ways of engaging whatever energies we have in Krishna's service and engaging others in Krishna's service, and we become fully absorbed in remembering Krishna and enter into the spiritual realm of meditation, Krishna in trance, due to pure love for Krishna and love for Krishna's devotees and love for the Sankirtan movement as given to us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his bona fide representatives. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
What's that?
I am one of the Bhira Mandar.
What's that?
Bureau members.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah. That's why now many these topics leads to dividing the society in a big way, in avoiding discussion and other things. It looks like why the Sadhu Sattva Guru they are unable to arrive at the solution on what is the alternative. Similarly for Diksha.
Is this a question or a comment? A long comment?
No, I'm questioning. What is the solution?
The solution? We have to understand things properly.
Sorry?
We have to understand things properly. I mean, to fight over... There's right and there's wrong. There's Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and there's things that are not following. But then again, we have to understand that ultimately, the real thing is the loving exchanges with the devotees. That's above everything. Diksha, we've made such a big thing out of diksha within our society, as if diksha was the purpose of our society to take diksha. As a matter of fact, that's many devotees think like that. That I'm going to take diksha, my diksha guru is going to take all my sinful reactions, I'm going to become purified, I'm going to go back to Godhead, and my poor diksha guru, he's going to be in the hospital. So we made such a big thing out of diksha, but diksha and shiksha, they're simultaneously one and different. Diksha is basically give up the false ego and accept ourselves as the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. So the person giving us diksha should actually be the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, and to teach us by their example and by their instructions how to become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And if they don't do that, if they're not very expert at doing that, then we're living in society of devotees. We have to look. Because our ultimate guru is the super soul in the heart, and he's best represented by Prabhupada in his books. And in his books are Srila Rupa Goswami's instructions that our business, what our business is. So even if our diksha guru doesn't make it clear, our line of diksha gurus make it clear, our line of shiksha gurus make it clear, we're supposed to engage in loving service to the devotees appropriately, according to their level of advancement. The whole philosophy is there. So diksha can help us remain fixed in the philosophy. But the philosophy of what? The philosophy that Prabhupada is giving us, the Acharya is giving us, the loving exchanges with the devotees. But if we fight simply on the basis of who has what designation, and we give up the loving service to Krishna, then we've given up Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Then we may be absolutely right, we may think we're absolutely right, but if we miss the whole point, then we're absolutely wrong. If we wind up with animosity, hatred, envy, fighting, conflict, on the basis that I think I'm right, then I'm absolutely wrong. And in spite of the fact I might be right, but I still engage in loving service with the devotees, and I tolerate and I act appropriately as a Vaishnava or a Vaishnavi, then the result will be that gradually Krishna will reveal these points to us. But these points are not the main points. The main point is service to our acharyas and to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, and to do it as Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to keep this movement together after my disappearance. So we love Prabhupada, we'll do that, and then we'll get all benedictions. And whatever minor faults there are or problems, those things will be corrected. Yes.
Maharaj, this is not related to me. It's related to the verse.
Okay.
Maharaj, in this verse, is the Shakti Vaishnava, Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it says here, it appears to suggest, that actually literally says, that you have to wash his sins. We have also Lord Krishna that you have to wash his sins, in the radical, for killing, the us to understand Supreme Personality of Godhead, how can he generate seeds with his activity? Is it something literal, or just giving us an example to not engage in killing the chakra and the brahmas, or it's a seed of the Lord himself? Because there's, in my understanding, there's no need for the Lord to purify his heart. He's already pure.
He's a Shaktivesha avatar. He's empowered. So, whether or not he actually acquired sin by his activity, you know, that may be questionable. But in any case, that's what it mentions here. Whether as an example for others to follow, because Yadyadacharya Shrestha does. So that by, after all, he killed the Kshatriyas 21 times. It's a lot of killing. He may have made a mistake along the way. So he rectified himself in that way. Of course, he was transcendental because, as it says in Bhagavad Gita, Shrayan Swadamo Viguna Paradharma Svanustitat Shredame Nidanam Shreyak Para Dharmo Bhayavaha, that it is better to engage in one's occupational duty, even unperfectly, to accept someone else's duty perfectly. Destruction of the cause of one's own duty is better, because to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. And Prabhupada gives Parasaram as one of the examples of someone who is transcendental, and therefore he could actually, instead of acting like a Brahmin, he acted like a Kshatriya. So we can understand, if he was transcendental, he wasn't acquiring any sinful activities. He was a perfect instrument for Krishna. That's the meaning of Shaktivesha avatar. But still, he sets the example. And it was for people in general. Otherwise, people wouldn't take it seriously.
Because he's a Purusha, he cannot make mistakes. He cannot generate karma.
Yeah, of course. All right, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.